So I have often avoided preaching about creation. So it's a shame. I mean, God created the world. He created us. But I've avoided preaching about Genesis chapters 1 and 2 and about creation because of all the pitfalls and the false trails and the diversions that we can go down when we're thinking about creation. And really, it's about facing the challenge of how do you talk about God creating the world and yet there's evolutionary theory and all of that. But how do you begin a Bible series on the Bible's great Bible stories without beginning at the beginning? And so we begin at the beginning. God creates the world. Yet how do you approach Genesis chapters 1 and 2 without falling prey to all those questions for which we don't have answers? You know, dinosaurs and how old the earth is and all those kind of things. How do we approach it without getting caught up in all that and then missing what God wants us to hear? Well, how we do that is to come to this with an attitude of faith. We come to the Bible, we come specifically today to God creating the world, Genesis chapters 1 and 2. We come with an attitude of faith. This is the story of God. It's His true story, a true account of what He did in creating the world and what who He is. This is God's story. And He revealed to us what He wants us to know. And so we come to this with an attitude of faith. And when you come with an attitude of faith, you realize the magnitude of what God has done. Just to stand back with Genesis 1 and 2 in the back of your mind and stand and look at the world and you realize the magnitude of what God has done. And that's what led me to write down these words as kind of a key to thinking about God's creation, that it's a way to describe God's indescribable work. It was intentional. There's no accident about the world being created. What we see in Scripture is that it was intentional. God said it. God made it. It was creative, meaning it was out of nothing. God created all this out of nothing, and it was unique, and it was multifaceted, and all of this beauty. And it was, and God is personal. God isn't just some sort of like void out there or some sort of unknowable higher power. God is personal. And then He created each individual. Each person that He created matters. And he had a purpose in all of this, and He gave us purpose to care for His creation. It was gracious. It was all gift. Grace equals gift. It was all a gift. You didn't do any work, did you, on the day of creation? Did you do any work to make the world? It was all a gift to you. And finally, goodness. At each step of the way, all 6 days, God says it was good. There's the coffee shop up in Zion called It's All Good. Well, even more than the coffee shop, God kept saying, it's all good. And that's what strikes me. It was good. After He makes man and woman, He says it was very good. And then He asks us to care for or to keep the earth. It strikes me as just completely, I don't know, caught off guard. He makes this world, and it's good. It's exactly how He wanted to design it. And then He says to the man and the woman, He says to people, He says, I want you to care for the world. It seems strange to me. It's like, it's already good. What does it mean to care for the world? Well, we have to realize that it must not mean to, guard, as if there was some enemy threatening the world. I mean, it wasn't about guarding the garden. It was to look after. They didn't have to stand as sentinels, like guarding against some army or something. And they weren't spraying herbicide, trying to get rid of those weeds that I'm sure you all have been working on already. And when God said to work the earth, work was not a four-letter word yet. Well, okay, work is, but you know what I mean. It was not a bad word. Work was to enjoy, to look after, to rejoice in God's creation. It wasn't toil yet. So it was to keep, to lead, to nurture. It wasn't meant to dominate or to crush. It was to enjoy God's creation and to be part of how God was going to keep the creation going. That's the amazing part of God's original plan. He says it was good, and then he tells his people, go take care of it. He's drawing us in to these words. He's drawing us in to what he has done. But that was then, and this is now. And what is now is the carpenter bee. You know what a carpenter bee is? Kind of like a bee that's like a termite. They eat wood. And, you know, I wish I was Dr. Doolittle. I could talk to the carpenter bee. You see, this past week, we've got the rolling signs in the parking lot that we put out to help kind of direct traffic during the week. A lot of people turning around, those kind of things. And the bottoms of those carts those signs are made out of wood. And one time I moved the sign, there's this perfect little pile of sawdust. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. And then I moved the cart and I put it back. And then the next day, here's another perfect little pile of sawdust. And so I turned the cart over and there's a perfect round hole, and I realized it was made by Mr. Carpenter Bee, making a place for the eggs and the queen and all of that. And I wanted to be Dr. Doolittle. I wanted to go to Mr. Carpenter Bee and say, look, I know you need wood and I need this wood. Why don't you come over here? I'll set up a whole different station for you. You can have all this wood that you want. That doesn't work that way. And so there was the sadness of needing to spray Mr. Carpenter Bee. God meant for us to care for the earth, and there in the fallen world that we have now, I couldn't talk to Mr. Carpenter Bee, and we couldn't be partners like I wanted to be. And then you think about, why do I even have those signs out there? It's because we got the cones and the signs because people are constantly turning around during the week. If you've never sat around here, come for an hour, count how many cars turn around. Most of it's Six Flags traffic and things like that. People constantly turning around. And they used to go at like 50 miles an hour, and the kids are out there playing, and I'd get angry and everything, so we put the cones. This leading, talking about creation makes me recall that every person is made in God's image. God said, let us make them in our image. Every person who turns around, whether they use the correct entrance or the exit, whether how fast they're going, every person that we will ever see is made in God's image. Which means I need to take that person seriously. I need to see that they are a loved creation of God. So I can get mad at the carpenter bee and realize that it's a broken creation. I can get mad at other people, but then I realize that God is calling on us to recognize that every person we see is made in his image. There is the mission thought that sometimes we talk about, how as you think about sharing the gospel, you realize that every person you will ever meet, Jesus died for that person. There's not one person on earth that Jesus hasn't died for. Well, in this same way, kind of even before the fall into sin, every single person that you see was made in God's image. Every single person was created by God as a unique individual. Before God even created the world, he saw the whole plan. He saw the whole plan running down through all the generations, running down to you and all the people around us. He knew you, and he created you. Which means we cannot dismiss people. We can't dismiss some people as unimportant or less than human. I can't dismiss all those people that turn around rudely in the parking lot. I can't just dismiss them because God also created them. Every person made in God's image. And sure, we are also all broken by sin, and we'll talk about the fall into sin next week. But hold on to this and rejoice that every person you meet, God created uniquely. We are the crown of creation. You know what that means? The crown of creation means that you know, he created the plants and the animals and everything, but then when he got to man, he said, go take care of the earth, the crown of creation. There's something unique. Jesus died for people. And the worst thing then that you could say about another person is to call another person an animal. Pig, cow, ape, snake, wolf, coyote, skunk. You get the picture. We have scathing ways of talking about other people. We have scathing ways of saying those people over there are animals. And we have scathing ways of talking about other people who are God's creation. And so this we confess. And we admit our sin. And that sin doesn't flow out of God's original plan. It flows from the fall into sin. And we confess that we have a disdain for God's creation, both his earth and his people. There are times when I don't care about the earth, and there are times when I don't care about the people. And we confess this. But God be praised that when his good creation could no longer be called good, God set out with a plan of salvation. That plan of salvation that ultimately leads to Jesus. Jesus coming and taking on flesh. Taking on a life like ours, except it was without sin. A plan of salvation that led to Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and then rising again to conquer death. Death that had entered the creation because of our sin, so that now we can have the promise of rising from the dead. God be praised that when his good creation no longer could be called good, God created a plan of salvation, a plan that reflects these same words. He was intentional about his plan. He was creative about his plan. He made this plan. We didn't. It's a personal God taking on human flesh to be man and God in Jesus. And Jesus dies for each individual. This plan of salvation was purposeful to save us, and it gives us purpose to share that hope with others. This plan of salvation is gracious, complete gift, and it is good. Let me tell you one other story. This past week, I met one of our PADS clients, a homeless man. I met him at the Dunkin' Donuts near the PADS office in Waukegan. And first, when we met each other, he realized who I was. He's like, thank the church for that shower I had this morning. That was a great shower. I feel like a new man. I said, I will. Consider yourself thanked. It's great that we can continue offering showers for the PADS clients. But then he and a couple other PADS clients were telling me how great it was the other night. They got to watch the last game with the game of the Cavaliers and the Celtics. They're staying at Foss Park during the summer, a small group, and they were able to watch TV that night. And so the next day, they were just rejoicing that they got to do something normal, like watch an NBA game. But then this man, he kind of reported that some of the conversation turned kind of racist about who should win based on skin color and all this, and I walked away. Like, I don't want to hear about all that. And then later he says to me, Pastor, I'm sorry. You know, we in the church, and he was telling me about his church, but, you know, we need you pastors to keep telling us the truth. Because otherwise we get carried away in those kind of thoughts. I thought that was pretty good insight that he was having. And he's right. There is forgiveness and mercy for our ways of racism, hatred, any way of dismissing another person who is God's creation. There is forgiveness and mercy for that. But to speak the truth and to rejoice that every person is made in God's image. Every person is a person, not an animal. Every person has the promise of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And through that conversation with that man, I was starting to see it. And then actually what I was doing at Dunkin' Donuts was working on this, trying to see the big picture, not get caught up in all the questions we can't answer, to see the big picture. And through that conversation with that man, I was able to remember again that what we want to rejoice in today is God's good creation that he graciously has made. And that he has intentionally saved us through his own purpose and given us purpose to care for the world, to care for the people around us, all of the people around us, and to bring them that same hope. Give thanks for God's good creation. Amen.